Jesus is on a mission. He's been sent by the Father on a grand adventure to redeem and restore all things. Ever since Jesus broke out of the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, he's been on the loose out there, pursuing his Father's redemptive mission, ripening people, preparing people to be reunited with the Father he loves. In fact, that's what Jesus is up to right now in every one of our neighborhoods. And he invites us to join him.
Well, good morning. Well, it's amazing to think about Jesus.
Jesus is on a mission.
We'll watch it again.
He's been sent by the Father on a grand adventure to redeem and restore all things. Ever since Jesus...
So, Jesus is what we're talking about, right? And it's amazing to think about the idea that Jesus is on the loose, right? I mean, do we actually think that way, that since the resurrection that Jesus has been on the loose? I mean, because that's true. He really has been on the loose. And as he was on the loose and as he's on the loose today, he is inviting us to join him on his mission. And that's the series that we are starting today. Joining Jesus on his mission, how to be an everyday missionary. And as we go through this today, I hope that you are motivated and understand why this is such an important thing for us to hear today. Because things have changed. But Jesus, during his earthly ministry, said so many things. For instance, in John's gospel, we read that he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." And Jesus even says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And over, Jesus spoke to his disciples. And after his resurrection, before his ascension, in the book of John, we read, he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I mean, those are pretty important words. Those are almost the last words he said as he was with his disciples. And if those were the last words that he would say, we would have to think that they're pretty important, right? So today we're talking about this sort of new life series of what we need to do in order to become an everyday missionary. And I know the thought of that, of being an everyday missionary, sounds intimidating. It probably scares you, and it makes you go, "Whoa, that's not for me." Because many of us have not signed up to be a missionary, have we? But I think you'll see that as we go through this series that it's not so scary. It's not going to bring you anxiety. It's not going to make you feel insecure. In fact, it'll do exactly the opposite. See, Jesus said in Matthew 28 these words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the Great Commission. It is an invitation, a command for us to join him. That's what it is. It is not anything else other than him in a commanding way saying, "You come and join me in the work that I am doing." Because the question for us here today is, how do I join Jesus on his mission and become an everyday missionary? Well, we're looking at the book that is actually there by our friend Greg Finke. He's actually a pastor that I know in the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who wrote this book. And he gives us very practical ways on how this happens throughout his whole book. He explains two basic truths, and these are the truths that you and I have to truly understand. One is that Jesus is on his mission. Do you believe that? Jesus is active, alive, he's loose in the world, and he is on his mission. And two, he invites us to join him. Hallelujah. That's what the two things we need to understand. And the question is, how do we join him? How do we become an everyday missionary? Well, I think the first thing we have to understand is from Mark chapter 1. It begins with these words, "In the beginning," or the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the first verse in Mark. And he's talking about that the thing begins, and Jesus begins with his ministry, the good news of Jesus Christ. the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That he has come, and it begins by talking about his mission. That the beginning of the good news is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Truly understanding who he is, that he is alive today, and he is actually beginning his ministry, and he's doing it today. It continues throughout today. The next verses go on, and you can skip through. It talks about John the Baptist and some other things. But as we get to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we read these words. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. This is an invitation. This is an invitation to come and follow me. And what is your purpose? To fish for people. Now, how many of us are fishermen in here? By the way, every one of you should raise your hand after that verse. Okay, everyone should raise their hand after that verse. We are all fishermen, right? And every one of us is called to join Jesus on his mission and to fish for men in this world. And that men is the term that is all-inclusive, right? It doesn't mean just males. It means males and females and everyone, right? So when I say, are you a fisherman, everyone should raise their hand. Let's try that once again. Every one of us is a fisherman. Raise your hand. Danny, you don't have your hand raised. So come on. We are all fishermen, right? He's saying, follow me and I will make you fish for men. That is an invitation to join him. And in order to join Jesus on his mission, all we really have to do is to enjoy people. Seek and recognize and respond to what Jesus is already doing. Seek and look after where he is already working in the world, where we live, work, and play, and enjoy the people around us. Wow, that sounds fun, doesn't it? That's what we're talking about. But we have to understand first, before we actually get all the way there, what is the mission of God? See, it's called the Missio Dei, is that term that a lot of people use. Missio Dei, and what is the Missio Dei? It truly is the mission of God, the sending of God that began with God the Father sending his Son into this world. And why was Jesus sent into this world? He was sent here for one reason, to redeem and to save us. That's the mission of God. And he sent his one and only Son to come here, even though we didn't deserve it at all. Sent him here to pay the ultimate price, his death on the cross, so that you and I could have forgiveness. But then he rose again so that we could have life. See, that's the mission of God. It truly is the sending of God. So what is that mission? It is this, that all may be saved and come to the knowledge of him. That's the mission of God, that everyone in this world would truly be saved and come to the knowledge of who God and Jesus is. And it's to make disciples. To redeem and restore the world. That's the mission that God is on. And the amazing thing is he uses us to do that. So whose mission is this? I knew you'd say that. It's Jesus' mission. It's Jesus' mission. It is his redemptive mission. He is calling us to join him in his mission. It is not something he has given us to do in the place of him. It is Jesus' mission, and we are called to join him on it. That means that it's not something that we have to necessarily feel like we do. God is the one who does the work, not us. But we join him in that work. And isn't that relieving? To know that I'm not the one who has to save the world? Because I'll tell you what, if I'm the one who has to save the world, we're in trouble. Okay? Jesus is the one who is doing this work. It is his mission. And he is calling us to just partner with him and join him in that work. And the amazing thing is we know that God is up to something, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we look right here and feel like God is doing something. Would you agree? And we want God to do even more because we know he's up to something, not just here among us, but he's doing something everywhere throughout this world. He's calling us to something more than what we've settled for. Does that make sense? See, sometimes we have this tendency to settle for things. And I think a lot of you know me by now, I don't like settling for things. Okay, God, he's up to something more. And he wants us to do more than what we've settled for. Much more than that. And so the question I have for you today is, how is God messing with you? How is God messing with you? How is he getting your attention? How is he trying to grab your attention? What is he trying to do to get you to not just settle for things any longer, but to do something different? I mean, why does he need our attention in the first place? It's because he intends us to join him. Join him on the mission that he has. Join him on the mission that he is trying to accomplish. See, here's the reality of what we have to understand. Here in the United States, this now is the largest mission field on the planet. One of the largest mission fields on the planet. Some people would argue that this probably is the largest, if not one of the largest. People are unconnected to the church and may not be connected in Jesus just in our backyard. Amen. We are no longer the church who is serving a community filled with a variety of Christians. We are now a church who finds itself needing to be on mission, in the mission field, each and every day. We are calibrated, though, in churches today, maybe like us here, for a culture in the 1960s or 70s, a culture that is based on a church culture, hoping that if we just advertise more or do the great event, that maybe they'll come. And the world is different today. A lot of churches and Christians think that we're still operating in this culture, that it's still an essentially churched culture, and that people are looking for a church home. But the reality is, most people are not. Most people this morning are sleeping in, playing golf, or doing other things, and church is the last thing on their mind. If you don't believe me, you can look at our statistics for our community within 10 miles of where we're sitting here today. 67% of the population are not involved in a religious community. They're called nuns. No religious affiliation. That equates to 107,000 people within 10 miles of us right here. Well over 65% or 60% of the Palm Springs population is LGBTQ. Now, some of us and some of the numbers recently are saying close to 70%. Nationally, over 46% of those who identify with this group are unaffiliated with a church at all or with a religion at all. That equates to somewhere around 26,000 people. Now, we wonder and wish that our church would be full, right? We wonder and wish and hope that people would know who Jesus is. There are people right around us everywhere that just don't know who Jesus is and really feel like they don't care. And they are never going to step foot in this door just by us putting on an event or having an awesome worship service with Laura leading us or anything else we do right here. See, that's what this whole idea of joining Jesus on his mission is all about. That each one of us need to see our role as an everyday missionary. That it is no longer just, I'm a churchgoer. I'm no longer just one who comes on Sunday and sits in the pew. What we are is we are an everyday missionary. You are an everyday missionary. Why? Because of who you are. You are a child of God who has been saved by Jesus Christ. Because of who you are, that's why you need to do what we're talking about here. It is a motivation that you have because Jesus has saved you. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. You have salvation that is there for you. You know eternal life is secure for you. So now let's not worry about us any longer. Let's worry about those who are out there that don't know Jesus. See, that's what makes you a missionary right here in the Coachella Valley. And I've said this before, that you are the sacramental presence of Jesus. Because Jesus is alive in you. And everywhere you go, you bring Jesus' presence, whether you realize it or not. Now, Chris Meyer is sitting right over there. I can't think of someone who actually demonstrates this as much as he does, right? I mean, I was with him at lunch on Friday, and we spoke to a number of people right in Panera. Why? Because he just asked questions and started talking to people and started, Jesus oozed out of his body. Why? Because Jesus is alive in him. And I did clear this with him on Friday that I was going to call him out here as well, okay? But the question is that this is what it's about, right? Understanding that Jesus is alive with me and in me, and everywhere I go, I have the ability to represent Jesus and to bring him to people, to be the presence of Jesus in this world. And Galatians 2:20 is my life verse. This is the verse that I hold on to, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives in me. Christ is alive in us. And Martin Luther said we were little Christs in the world. And if you think of yourself that way, it changes everything. It changes everything. See, Jesus, he's truly at work all around us. Jesus is the one who is on the loose in all areas of our life. Jesus is doing the heavy lifting of this work, though, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your families as well. They may not see him or know him or want him, but Jesus is still working. They may be just being prepared for someone like you or me to come alongside them and share his love and grace. See, we are not called to do the work of Jesus, but we are called to join him in the work that he's doing. John the Baptist said, I am not the Christ, but I am the one who is preparing the way. See, sometimes the work we do is we prepare the way for someone else to come in and actually see the fruit. But see, I don't go for Jesus in his place. Jesus says he will always be with us, and what we do is we go with Jesus everywhere that we go. And in fact, I would suggest that Jesus is already there. And what Jesus says is he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. That's what he meant when he gave us that invitation. And what if he really means that? Have you ever thought about that? What if he really meant what he said and says, come and follow me? Jesus goes before us, he is with us, and we are Jesus' followers. We are not his salespeople. We are his followers. Watching, listening, responding to Jesus already at work, already in the world. So what do you call someone who watches and listens and responds to you with love in this world? We call him a friend. Amen. See, being a good friend or neighbor is what being a follower of Jesus is all about. That's all it is. It's living the fruit of the Spirit, which we read in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, really, what we're talking about as we live as a everyday missionary is we go out into this world and we make relationships and we make friendships, knowing that Jesus is working and that when the time is right, we speak about Jesus and the truth and what it means. I don't know of any one of us who doesn't want more friends. I think every one of us would say, I would like to have more friends. And I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm talking about true friendships, right? See, in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read these words. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. See, the kingdom of God that he speaks of here, that is near, meaning it's right here with us, is the redemptive presence of the activity of God on the move in the world around us. I'll say that once again. The kingdom of God is the redemptive presence of the activity of God on the move in the world around us. And God is just asking us to seek it and find it. Find where it's already working. What are you looking for? Well, you're looking for some place that you can apply a little bit of grace. You're looking for somewhere where maybe grace and the truth may make a huge difference in this world. You're looking for somewhere where love and truth might make a difference. And it often looks like human need. Human need that you and I may know someone just needs a friend. Or maybe someone needs a leg up for a little while, or somebody just needs a meal. It's about listening and understanding the needs of people all around us. And we can easily see in our families, in our neighbors, in our workplaces, in our schools, where grace can be applied, can't we? Where a little love and truth will truly make a difference, and where there is human need. And I know the question you're asking is, could it really be this simple? Could it really be this simple? Well, Jesus was of one mind and one purpose. No distractions, no loss of priorities. He was about the business that he was sent to accomplish, and that was it. Amen. See, it's that simple. Enjoy the people that God has placed in your life. Seek and recognize and respond to what God is already doing. Love your neighbor as you would like to be loved as well, and be with them. Enjoy them. And when the time is right, share. Share Jesus. See, remember, one, know that Jesus is on a mission. Two, know that he's already active in the world around you, and he invites you to join him. Seek the kingdom and go home. Open your eyes and take note of where grace needs to be applied and where someone might just have a little need. See, the U.S. has become the largest mission field on the planet almost. The greatest mission tool that we have to reach those individuals is not the church. It's the Christians that are in the church. It's you. So the call is for us to start today, to become an everyday missionary for him, for Jesus. It's simple, but I know it's hard. It's about changing what we do when we go out as the church into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and our schools, beginning Monday morning. If we always do what we've always done, guess what? We'll always get what we've always gotten. We need a mindset of a missionary. Old mindset, old practices, they give us old results. New mindsets, new practices will give us new results. So the question today is, what is Jesus up to? Who are these people that are around you that God is asking you to invest in and become friends with? And what are they almost ready for? Remember, Jesus is on a mission and he invites you to join him. He doesn't give you a mission to do for him. He's inviting you to come with him on his mission. And that's a huge difference. There's a video I'd like you to watch as we conclude today that's actually from a church called Bethel Church. I have no idea where they are, but it's a video that I think is very good, and it's one that I believe we could actually use and put our own name on it right here. So I invite you to look at this next video and pay attention to what it's saying.
This is the missional church. Simple. In the past, North American churches have spent large amounts of resources to construct the most attractive places imaginable for the community in which they were situated. The goal was to offer great music, compelling teaching, and a host of programs for the purpose of gathering communities together. Anyone who wanted to come was welcome, and church members were encouraged to invite their friends and neighbors. Generally, people had a pleasant experience. The people who came and were cared for seemed relatively similar: education, income, pastimes, race, struggles, and histories seemed to be almost identical. Eventually, someone asked the question, what about all the people who aren't like us but who live around us? Why aren't they here too? In response, many North American churches increased their marketing budget, started direct mail in the community, and took out ads in local papers. They also bought radio time, released a fresh web page, and offered to host the world's greatest event. The gathered church was determined to attract and stir up new interest in a culture that was increasingly backing out of regular church attendance. Church members relied on the church to do the work of conveying God's story in the world. If someone could be brought to an event, they could hear about Jesus from an ordained pastor. Inviting people became synonymous with evangelism. Having a healthy gathered church with effective small groups, children, youth, and Sunday morning ministries is essential. However, there is more that Jesus wants us to embrace when it comes to impacting our city, our nation, and our world. The missional church, on the other hand, scatters its members to be the church in the community 24/7. The church trains, resources, encourages, and challenges its people to live out the good news in their community by growing in acts of service. Ever heard that before? Let's face it, there are a number of people who are suspicious of the church and its marketing efforts. However, the missional church sends out its members to live among people unfamiliar with church customs, songs, and what it holds sacred, just like a foreign missionary. The missional church recognizes then that every believer embodies the life of the church in their neighborhood, in their school, their place of work, each one of them telling God's story in the context of compassionate and genuine relationships. Bethel wants to be a missional church, both gathered and scattered. Responding to the heart of God, transforming the heart of the city, the nation, and the world. It's that simple.
I hope you got that, gathered and scattered, right? And that's exactly the role that we need to be playing right now. We need to be gathered and scattered, meaning we come together on Sunday and we gather together. We come together like we did on Wednesday night for the potluck, and we gather and we support one another, we love each other. But then what do? We scatter the rest of the weekend out into this community as little Jesuses in the world, where we make a difference by loving people and serving them and caring for them, so that ultimately what? We can share the gospel with them as well. But so many times churches have focused on the idea that it's up to me as the senior pastor to get this done. It's up to us here in the church to just get more people into the sanctuary. But if that's what we do, it will never happen here. In this culture today, it will never happen. Sure, we may steal some Christians from one church or another, but that's not what we're here for. We are here to reach people who don't know Jesus, and the only way we're going to do that is by you and me living as missionaries in this world, getting out into the community and gathering with them where they're at, loving them, getting to know them and all their mess, by the way, and coming back here. And eventually, maybe they'd join us. My goal here is that we would see baptisms every Sunday because of people coming to faith. And that is what I believe God wants as he looks to this community, as he calls us to join him on his mission. So would you join me in prayer? Well, Lord Jesus, We know that you're already on the loose in our community, doing the heavy lifting for us, Lord, as we join you on this mission that you have. Lord, we thank you for inviting us to join you. And Jesus, we know that being an everyday missionary in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and all around us, Lord, is an incredible command or commission or calling that you have given us. But Lord, help us to enjoy people. Help us then to seek, recognize, and respond to what you are already doing in their lives. And Lord, help us to just enjoy being with people who aren't like us. Help us every day to seek the kingdom and hear from you, Lord, who you are calling us to serve and who you are calling us to get to know. So that, Lord, we may truly be an everyday missionary joining you on your mission. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.